Okay, back on the record, file number 220269, Arborwood, Taylor Caber appeal. How about that? I'm getting shorter and shorter. All right, Ms. Liao, you may call your next witness.
Thank you. I'd like to call Eric Clark, please.
Okay. Before I swear you in, I just noticed that Mr. Getch's camera is not on. So there he is. All right. All right. Hello, Mr. Clark. I would like to swear you in, and then we'll start your questioning. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Great. Thank you. All right, Ms. Liao.
Thank you. Just a moment. Can you please state your name for the record again?
Eric Clark.
Okay. And I'm going to pull this exhibit up, but I apologize. I need to reference what number we offered this as in our pre-filings. This, I believe, is R6. Yes, that's correct. Can you please describe what this document is, Mr. Clark?
That's my CV.
Okay, great. Thank you. And what is your profession?
My profession is construction management and project management.
Okay, great. Can you tell us about your post-high school education?
Yeah. Started at Oregon State in 1990, Oregon State University in Corvallis. And got a BS in mechanical engineering in 1995, or excuse me, I started in 85 and got my BS in 90. Do not have a professional engineer's license, however.
Do you have any certifications or professional licenses otherwise?
I am a certified erosion and sediment control lead, a CECL, which allows me to manage temporary erosion control on job sites for stormwater.
Okay, great, thank you. And what is your role on the Arborwood project?
My role in the Arborwood project has been construction and project management.
And who have you done work for in that regard?
At Arborwood?
What companies have you worked for?
At Arborwood, that would be Taylor Morrison Homes and Pulte Homes. I've worked construction management for both of them.
Okay. And when did you start working on the Arborwood project?
I believe it was 2021.
Okay. And were you working for Taylor Morrison at the time or Pulte?
Yes, I was working for both at the time.
For both of them. Okay, great. Where do you work currently?
I work for Core Design in Bothell, Washington.
And how long have you been with Core?
Since April 2nd of this year.
Of this year. Okay. So did you say that you started working on the Arborwood project before you started working for Core? Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And how would you describe your position at Core today?
My position at Core is I am a principal and partner at the company. I am running a construction management and project management division of Core Design, basically doing projects similar to what we're talking about today.
Okay, great. And just for clarification, Mr. Clark, we are offering him as a factual witness based on his involvement in Arborwood. So just for clarification, I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing this.
Wait, I'm sorry, did you say a factual witness?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, based on his involvement at Arborwood.
So are you saying, I mean, is he, I'm sorry, Are you drawing a distinction between fact witnesses and experts writ large, or are you saying he's a fact expert but not a forensic expert?
He's not being offered as an expert witness per se. If you want to conduct voir dire, I just wanted to clarify that the testimony he's going to be providing is in connection with his work that his background he just described on Arbor Road as the project manager and a construction manager.
Oh, I totally get it. But you do understand. I mean, is he a forensic? I mean, if you say he's a fact witness, right? A treating doctor can be a fact witness, but a treating doctor, when testifying about technical things, also becomes a fact expert. And so I just didn't know if he's just laying the groundwork and talking about what's going where, or if he's going to be addressing expert topics, in which case he'd be a fact expert.
Sorry for being slow. It's late in the day. I don't have any other foundational questions for him. So if you want to conduct any voir dire about anything that I've just spoken to, that's fine. He's going to be speaking to,
I don't want to do voir dire unless you're offering him as an expert. So I'm just trying to get clarification.
I'm not offering him as an expert.
Not as a fact expert or a forensic expert.
Sorry to be slow. I'm offering him to provide testimony about his role to date and events that have happened on the permitting process for Arborwood.
Fair enough. So is he a fact expert or is he just a fact witness? Is he a lay person? Is he going to be offering technical opinions on technical things?
He's not going to be offering technical opinions on technical things.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you been involved in the permitting process for Arborwood since you've been working on this in 2021?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So just for clarifications, in terms of your involvement, have you been involved in preparing the actual site plan, some of which we've seen so far in this hearing?
No, I have not.
Okay. But you're familiar with them from a permitting application perspective, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Were you able to hear the testimony of Lisa Cavell just moments ago?
I did, yes.
Okay. Is there any more detailed information about the permitting process that you can speak to or want to add to what Ms. Cavell testified to?
I think I could add some detail to that in terms of dates and clarification if necessary.
Okay, very good. I'm going to pull up, a document here. I am not going to pull up a document. I would like to ask you about the second minor amendment that we previously saw. I need to pull it up. I will. I don't think I need to. Do you recall when that application for a second minor amendment to the Arborwood plat was submitted to the county?
I do. I just jotted some notes down here. I might just take a quick glance at those because there's a lot of dates, a lot of permits and a lot of dates. It was submitted in November of 2021.
Okay. Do you recall what type of information was submitted to the county in conjunction with that second minor modification of the plat?
Yeah, it was plans for different phases of the project. It was, we had a draft wetland mitigation plan, critical areas letter, preliminary drainage report, things like that.
Was Taylor Morrison, I should say, asked to submit any supplemental information in connection?
Yes.
Do you remember what additional information you submitted?
I think we're asked to submit an updated SEPA checklist and I believe some landscape plans and that sort of thing. Let me double check. Yeah, preliminary landscape plans for phases 2, 4, and 5.
Right. And let's see, so you said that those were submitted in November of 2021. Do you recall when the county approved the second minor modification?
Say again?
When did the county approve that second minor modification?
April 17th of 23.
Okay, so about a year and a half later.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'd like to take a deep breath for myself and dive into some questions for you regarding those other applications submitted around this time, the second modern modification that Ms. Cavell referenced. Can you be a little bit more specific to identifying which what those applications were?
Yeah, so we had a SDAP, a site development activity permit. We also had an SDAP, but it was an early clear and grade approval, which is slightly different than the SDAP that we submitted for in full. We did the SDAP, by the way, was for phases 4 and 5. And we did, trying to think what else we did. Hang on 1 second. The early clear and grade permit, the SDAP for the early clear and grade was for phases 4, 5, and 6.
Okay. I'm going to take a big step back because it took me a long time to figure out what is the difference between an early clear and grade versus an SDAP, in as far as your understanding.
So an SDAP is a permit that allows us to basically build an entire project from a land development standpoint. It doesn't include building homes. It just basically allows us to do everything from clearing and grading the land all the way through to being basically ready to build homes. That would include putting in doing the clearing and grading, which there's a significant amount of clearing and grading on phases 4 and 5. It includes utilities such as sewer, water, storm drain. We're building, as I think is mentioned previously, bridges to span the two creeks that are on the property. And we're doing a sewer lift station because the property is below the grade of the sewer treatment plant. So we have to pump sewer effluent to the plant from the project.
So those are the types of activities that are approved in the SDAP. So how does that differ from the early clear and grade?
Early clear and grade is normally done to get a little bit of a head start on a project, because typically the scope of an early clear and grade permit is more just specific to doing tree logging and tree clearing and the grading activities that would basically set the site up so that you could do the rest of the work, the utilities and that sort of thing. Okay. Could involve building retaining walls and that sort of thing if you have those permits for those walls.
Okay, great. Thanks for that clarification. So let's go back to approximately when did Taylor Morrison submit their first SDAP application?
It was in 21, I know that. Give me 1 second here. December of 2021.
Okay, great. And can you just kind of list off the improvements that were requested in that SDAP application from 2021?
Or the SDAP?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would have been all of the clearing and grading, all of the utilities work, sewer, storm drain. We did all, didn't mention earlier that there's also a pretty significant intersection improvement. We're building a roundabout out on the main road in the public right of way for access to the north side of the project. So it would have included all of that. It also includes the construction of the bridges that will be spanning the creeks.
Did that first SDAP application that you submitted in December of 2021, did that include a request for buffer averaging, wetland fill, wetland buffer averaging, and wetland fill?
Yeah, it did. It did.
And then the early clear and grading permit that has been discussed as well, there's a separate application for that from the SDAP, is that correct?
That is correct.
And when was that submitted?
I think it was January of 22, I believe. Let me double check. Yeah, it was. It was January 2022.
Okay, so the SDAP was submitted in December 2021, the early clear and grade January 2022, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great.
Yes.
See, give me just a moment. Can you for this project, you described generally what the difference between an early clear and grade is versus an SDAP. For this particular project, does the early clearing grade, does that application and ultimate approval, does that extend into any of the permanent improvements that will occur on the site beyond clearing grading for this project?
Not beyond clearing and grading, no.
So it only authorizes clearing and grading, the early clearing grade permit?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. And then the improvements that are shown on those early clearing grade plans, do those reflect the improvements that are proposed in the site development application? So things like the road and some of the drainage plans that you described in the SDAP, are those shown on the early clearing grade permit as well?
Well, they can be. I think often it might show some level of that, but not at the level of detail you would have for a site development activity permit, where those activities would actually be approved.
So with respect to the roads and the drainage plans that have been depicted on the early clearing grade plan, are those the same as what was submitted in the SDAP application you described?
At the time of submittal, to the extent that there was those facilities on the early clearing grade, yeah, they would have been the same.
Same as what was submitted at that time?
Correct.
Okay. All right. The drainage plans that in those early clearing grade plans, will those be the permanent drainage plans for the site once the SDAP is approved?
On the early clearing grade plans?
Yeah.
No, they're generally not. The early clearing grade plans would typically include erosion control facilities. The plans didn't actually, the early clearing grade didn't include actual permanent storm drainage features, other than because the creation of the storm ponds is part of the grading work, we could build those ponds, but that would have been it.
So the ponds that are shown are only those that are pertaining to the clearing grade work. Is that what you're saying?
Can you clarify?
Yeah. Let me try this. I'm going to pull up one of the foundational exhibits here that we've been talking about, because I just want to clarify something. I'm going to pull up apologize. This is taking a moment here. Okay, so this is just exemplary here, because I understand you weren't a part of designing these plans, but at least based on your understanding, this is that exhibit F16, which are some of the plans that we've been discussing from earlier.
Yes.
Oh, I apologize. Is this, so are these, so the, what's shown on these plans here, are these part of the early clearing grade?
Yes, I believe it is.
Okay. So at least in terms of some of the improvements, like the drainage plans that are shown and the road, are those part of the construction related activities improvements, or will those be the permanent improvements?
Well, that particular, I apologize. That particular part of that system would be permanent.
Okay. I'm going to stop sharing because I think I'm confusing myself here. My apologies. Let's go back to the SDAP application.
Okay.
That was submitted in December of 2021. Can you just generally tell us, share what was submitted as a part of that SDAP application?
Obviously, a full set of plans. I think it was a 50 or 60 sheet set of plans. There was a storm drainage report or a technical information report, it's often called. I think a draft mitigation report, wetland mitigation or buffer mitigation report was submitted with that. Glance through this real quick. Radicky wetland reports from 2007 and 2018. I believe that in that there was also an earlier version of Exhibit F-16 that's in the record.
So the one that we were just looking at, but it was an earlier version?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Do you know if the Geotech report was submitted with that SDAP? Okay.
Geotech would have been, yes.
Okay, and that's been admitted into the record with mm-hmm. the, is that consistent with the, let's see, that was, were you here for the applicants when they discussed the Terra Associates report? I'm forgetting that exhibit number right now, but was that the report that was submitted, the 2021 report by Terra Associates?
Yes.
Okay. Did you submit anything on that SDAP from the Army Corps of Engineers?
I believe we submitted a letter from the Corps stating that a Corps permit was not required.
Okay, great. Okay. The materials that you submitted as a part of that December 2021 SDAP application, are those similar to the materials that you submitted for the ECG a month later?
Would you mind repeating that?
Those materials, instead of having you list out, I was going to ask you about the application materials that you submitted as part of the ECG application in January of 2022. Mm-hmm. Is it a similar list as to what was just that you just rattled off?
Similar but different. I mean, like I said, it doesn't have the same level of detail as the SDAP plans, but yeah, many of the plans are the similar. Basically the clearing and grading aspect of that with the storm drains that we just mentioned.
Okay, great. Okay, so earlier you mentioned that with the first SDAP, you included a request for wetland buffer averaging, fill and modification. Did the county process that request under the SDAP application after you submitted that?
I'm sorry, you say it one more time.
Yeah, so earlier you testified that when you submitted the SDAP application, it included a request for wetland buffer modification and wetland fill. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Did the county ultimately process your request for that buffer modification under that same SDAP permit?
I believe they asked us. I think they rejected it, I believe.
They rejected the wetland buffer component?
Well, I shouldn't say they rejected. They didn't accept it, I guess.
They didn't accept it. And what do you mean they didn't accept it?
They didn't let us submit it. Maybe get it confused.
So you originally submitted it as a part of the SDAP, you said?
Yes.
And then the county wouldn't let you proceed with the wetland buffer averaging under the SDAP permit.
Yes.
What happened with that request?
Oh, it was returned to us.
And did you apply for it in a different way? That buffer modification request? Okay.
Yes.
Is that the CABR application?
I'm sorry. Discussing? Yes, that is the CABR. Yes. Sorry about
Thank
that.
Thank you. Do you know why you submitted that separately to the county from the SDAP?
No, I really don't. There was some discussion about that at the time, and I still don't have a real clear picture of why that would be.
So you submitted that under separate cover from the SDAP after you submitted all of that together as a package at the direction of the county?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, that was not intended to be that painful. Based on your discussions with county staff since then, what is your understanding of the sequencing of approvals for the CABR, the ECG, and the SDAP?
My understanding is the CABR was required to be approved first. And then the SDAP and the ECG would be approved subsequently.
Okay. All right. What's the current status of the ECG permit?
What I'm told by the county is that the ECG is ready to issue pending issuance of the CABR permit, and I suppose pending the outcome of this appeal.
And what is the status of the SDAP application?
SDAP has been through several reviews so far, with responses from the Taylor Morrison side, the Taylor Morrison team, and I believe it's close to being, I think we're down to kind of the last few issues, and that we're expecting that to be issued within a very short time after the CABR is issued.
Do you anticipate there'll be any additional reviews of that SDAP application?
Yes, there will be at least one more review. We've got comments. We're expecting comments back from the county, and we will be implementing those comments into the and resubmitting.
Okay, great. And that's just for phase 4 and 5, not for phase 6. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I am going to bring up one of the foundational exhibits that we've seen previously and just ask you a few questions about clarifying what that is, and that's F20. Okay, so are you familiar with this document?
Yes, I am.
Can you describe what this is?
Can you zoom in on it just a little bit?
Oh, sure. Let me do that, and I can get down at the identifying label.
Yeah, that's. I believe this is a overlay. Just looking at it, that's fine. That's close enough.
Okay.
I believe it's an overlay of the phase 4, 5, 6 ECG, early clear and grading, over, I believe, the preliminary plat, the approved preliminary plat.
Okay. And did you design any of the components of this?
No.
Okay. Was this submitted to the county as part of any of the applications?
Yes, I believe it was part of the CABR.
Was it, I saw reference to the ECG. Was it submitted as part of the ECG as well?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Okay. And the CABR. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you generally describe what this document is intending to show based on your familiarity with it?
Yeah, I think what's shown in blue is the original preliminary plat clearing and grading limits. And this is, I believe, the red, if you zoom out to the legend, I think that's the...
if I zoom in, it actually might be helpful, because I think there's some call outs.
Essentially, I think it's showing how the new clearing limits relate or overlap or overlay the original clearing limits in the original preliminary plat approval.
Okay, so the red shows the original preliminary plat clearing grade limits, and the blue shows what's being proposed as a part of this ECG.
Yes,
I get that right.
The zoom just out just a little bit. I can't see the south side of that
drawing.
The combination, the black, I think, actually shows the ECG.
Oh, it's the black. Okay, yeah. Thank you. The black shows the ECG, and the That's red correct. And the blue.
Red and the blue show the original.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm going to stop sharing that document. I want to go back to asking you a few questions about the CABR application.
Okay.
Approximately when was the CABR application submitted to the county?
He's 22. May of 22.
Okay, so May of 2022. So that would have been a couple months after the ECG and the SDAP?
Yeah, a few months after the SDAP, and yes.
Okay. What were the application materials that were submitted to the county with the KBAR, as far as you can recall?
We submitted plans for the bridges that to the level of detail that they had been designed at that, which I think they were fully designed at that point. Storm plans, we submitted the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife Hydraulic Project Approval, or HPA. The buffer reduction plan for phase 4, 5, and 6. And let me take a look here. Early clearing grade plans and the wetland mitigation plan for phase 4, I believe, and various other, a lot of submittal requirements on those applications. That's kind of the high points, I guess.
Okay. Great. And that, I just want to reiterate this just to make sure I've got this right here, that you mentioned the storm drainage plan that we were looking at earlier, F-16, which is dated February 16th, 2022. Is this the version that was submitted as a part of the KBAR application?
What was the date on that?
February 16th, 2022.
I believe so.
And you had said that that had changed since the SDAP had been originally submitted. Is that correct?
Yes.
Are you aware of whether that these plans have changed again since you submitted the KBAR approval?
Is
that a question for somebody else from CORE?
It might be a question for somebody else, yeah.
All right, thank you. With regards to the wetland reports you mentioned submitting to the county, are you aware of whether the county requested you that Taylor Morrison resubmit any of those reports after the initial submittal?
I believe so.
Did that include the wetland reports?
Did it include the wetland report? You're talking about the KBAR?
KBAR, yep. Did the county request that you resubmit the wetland
report? We did receive a comment report in later in 2022, and it did request that we resubmit wetland mitigation plans for phase 4 and 5, I believe. And let me see. And also for phases, actually a separate plan for phase 4, and then an additional plan for phase 5 and 6.
Okay. Do you know why they, based on those comments, why they asked you to resubmit the reports?
Thought it was to provide additional detail, possibly, that hadn't been there before.
Okay. Additional wetland analysis or additional detail about the project?
For the early clear and grade and the SDAP permit.
So additional information from the early clear and grade permit and the SDAP permit. That's what you recall. They had requested information, the additional reports. Okay. Okay. So let's see. I'm just going to. What is your understanding about the relationship between the KBAR and either the early clearing grade pit or the SDAP? Because earlier you mentioned that you understand that KBAR is issued and then the early clearing grade and then the SDAP. What's your understanding of that relationship beyond just the sequence of when those would be issued?
Beyond the timing?
Yeah, I guess, do you have any reason to understand do you know if there's a reason for the timing of issuance, CBER and then the ECG and then the SDAB?
Not specifically. We were a little surprised when we were asked to do a CBER after having submitted the information with the SDAP.
Let me ask this a little differently. Is it your understanding that the CBER needs to be issued before the ECG?
Oh, yes, definitely.
And why is that?
Because the ECG would comply with the requirements of the CBER.
Okay, and so the CBER is allowing for the CBER allows for buffer modification.
Which would need to be implemented as part of the ECG
of the early clearing grading. Correct. Okay, and is that same run true for the SDAP, that those approvals from the CBER would then run to the SDAP as well?
Yeah, that's correct.
Establishing the limits of where you guys can do work.
Yes.
Okay, great. No further questions at this time. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Clark. Mr. Getches, do you have any questions?
No, thank you.
All right. Mr. Telegen.
Hi, Mr. Clark.
Hi, how are you?
On the CBER application, I've had a very hard time following all of that. Did the county return any of your wetland reports to you and say, make changes or make fixes?
I believe they did. Yes. I think that's what I said.
Yeah. So there's like an April 22, 2022 report in our foundational documents. And then there's a September 7th, 2022 report. Was it the April one that they sent back to you?
That would have been, I believe that was the original submittal, I believe. And they didn't send it back. They just told us we just received comments that we needed to submit a new report.
Okay. And were there actually comments to you from the county explaining what they thought was wrong with the original report or what needed to be fixed?
I don't recall.
You don't recall was there like any oral discussions or was it just pop back in your mailbox?
I just don't recall it. They got 15 different projects like this. I just can't pull that out of my head right now.
Right. And so why were you guys surprised that you had to submit for a CBER, a critical area buffer reduction approval?
Well, we had submitted all the information for the original SDAP and including all of the wetland reports, and were ultimately told that those were returned to us, and we were told that we needed to submit for a CBER.
So you guys were just surprised that you had to get a separate approval rather than wrapping it up in the SDAP it happened to be broken out as something different rather than combined with the other two.
Yeah, we that was a surprise to us.
Okay, so that was a surprise to you. Beyond the surprise of that, do you have anything to share on the how all of this relates to the criteria for CBER approval?
I guess you need to be more detailed, I guess, with your questions.
I mean, there's criteria for a CBER. I mean, I just didn't know how all of this related to the criteria for buffer modification.
Can you?
Objection. I didn't ask him for any questions with regards to the criteria for the buffer modification. I was just trying to asking him questions related to timing and what was submitted.
Okay. Then I guess I have no more questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Oh boy, it's late, right? Mr. Clark. Ms. Liao, did you have any follow-up questions on redirect?
Yeah, just one or two here. But so the questions with regards to the relationship between the CBER and the SDAP, based on your experience with Pulte, Mr. Clark, you said you were surprised. Were you surprised because they decoupled them from being considered together?
Yeah, with Pulte, we to my knowledge, we did not, and I'm fairly certain we did not have a separate CABR permit to do the changes that we had to do to the buffers on Pulte's portion of the project on phase, that was phase one at the time.
So the review substantively of the CABR, as far as you're aware, that all happened in conjunction with approving the other request for clearing and grading. So it was simultaneous
It would have been with the phase one SDEP. That's correct.
Right. So it was all the materials that supported all of those activities were reviewed in conjunction with the CABR for Pulte, as far as you're aware. Is that correct?
With the SDEP for
Pulte. Yeah. But that was different for this project because they pulled it out and they issued them one at a time. And is it your awareness that they've been reviewing all of these applications that you've been submitting? You know, you've submitted them out of the order of sequence in which they'll be issued. Is it your understanding the county has been reviewing all of these materials and all of these approvals all at the same time?
Simultaneously, yes.
And you've been having, and your discussions with the county have been not necessarily just about one. Have they been about the collective total of them?
Yes.
Time to time? Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. My apologies, Mr. Getchis. I don't think I asked if you had any questions of the witness.
No, I don't. I have some questions for my own witnesses, but not for this one.
Okay. All right. Okay. Ms. Liao, do you have another witness that we can get started on, or is this the time for us to discuss scheduling the rest of the case?
Unfortunately, I think it's time to discuss scheduling because I'm just realizing my next witness had a hard stop at 5:15 and the others have left because we knew we wouldn't get past much past Mr. Clark, so I apologize.
Okay. All right. Well, now would be the time, I guess, we can try to collectively discuss a continuance of the hearing. And let's see, pull up my calendar. I know that we have the holiday next week, and obviously I can't speak to any of you all or your witnesses' schedules. I would be available any of the 3 days leading up to Thanksgiving, just putting that out there. And then beyond that, we can see.
We have pulled our witnesses scheduled. Unfortunately, we still have about six, not including the ones we have from the county. So next week, we are only available for part of the day on Monday the 20th. We'd have a hard stop at 2 that day.
Okay.
If I can put out there, I know that at least one of the county witnesses is off the entire week. So.
Okay.
And then we also, November 28th through 30th, we have another appeal hearing. So those days won't work either.
Okay. Would it make sense? I'm just, again, throwing it out there. Would it make sense, Ms. Liao, for you to put on your Radke witnesses on Monday and perhaps Joanne Bartlett?
I'm sorry, I was muted when I was trying to speak.
Ah, okay.
So I have a hearing on Monday of next week and Thursday of this week.
Okay.
So I cannot do Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't do Monday.
Okay.
I've got a hearing Friday.
December 1st is our next available date. I will just start there.
Okay. Tomorrow's not an option for anybody?
No.
That's not me. I'm so sorry.
So December 1st is our next available date and then followed by December 4th.
Okay. So Ms. Walston, what do we need to do on our side, your side, as far as, you know, is that an available date for you? Does it work for the Office of the Hearing Examiner?
So I just happen to know staff. I kind of pulled staff, and the 1st and the 4th are available for both, and I'm also available those days, either one. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I am also available. Mr. Telegin, are you available those dates?
Yes, I am. Just there's one expert, Mr. Rosine, who lives in New Hampshire, and I just texted him. Oh, yes, they are. I'm sorry. So it looks like we are available on the 1st and the 4th.
Okay. All right. Well, well then, I'll request Ms. Walston to send out an invite, and then hold both of those days. I'd love to say that I think we're going to get, I'd love to project that we could get through everything in one day, but I think, holding both dates open, for the rest of the hearing, I think makes sense.
What start and finish times are we looking at, or do we?
I was just going to say, I apologize. I'm available, but I am going to have to, I'm not going to be able to go until 5. I actually am only going to be able to go until 2 that day. I apologize. I thought we had it all right.
So start.
But I could start anytime. So, or 8:30, I should say, because I think some of our witnesses need that transition time.
8:30 to 2 p.m. on 12/1. Does that work, Mr. Getches? Does that work with your schedule? And Mr. Telegin, does that work on Friday the 1st?
That works great for me.
Okay. Sorry, what were the timelines for the 1st?
Just 8:30 to 2 p.m.
8:30 to 2 p.m. I think so, yes.
And for 12/4, are there any time constraints on that date?
I have an end time that day of 4, but I can again start at 8:30.
Okay. Mr. Getches?
I have a calendar every Monday and Tuesday, but oftentimes there's nothing on it. And I don't know that far out if there is anything on there. So I'm just going to say I'm available, and I can try and find coverage if I'm not available.
Mr. Telegin?
That's fine with me.
Okay. All right. Well, then we have a plan for the next couple of weeks, or at least looking out the couple of weeks. Any other matters to be brought for the good of the order before we wrap up today?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, and hope you have a nice Thanksgiving, and I will see you all on the 1st.
I just want to check. So, Mr. Telegin, you're going to send the exhibit with the photos through to me and copy the parties, then I'll forward to the hearing examiner when they come? Or is that what you said you were going to try and do it for tonight? Or
you know, honestly, I'm tired. I probably won't do it tonight. But yes, I will do that. And I will get them out as soon as I can. It was just a technical, we couldn't, they're big, so they couldn't get to me. Okay. Yes, I will get those as soon as I possibly can, and I will get them emailed to Ms. Walston and CC the parties.
Perfect. Okay, so I will look for that. And I think that was the only thing that needed to be sent. The other stuff was either demonstrative or already cited, right?
I believe so.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thanks again, everybody. Talk to you soon. All righty. Bye-bye.